Welcome to Friends with Pineapples. This podcast is intended for adult audiences only. If you are not over the age of 18 and interested in listening to sexually explicit stories and opinions, please leave now.
We are two millennial best friend couples who share our experiences and opinions on the swinger lifestyle to shed light on the positives and against the negative stigma.
These are our own views, thoughts, and opinions. Nothing we say should be taken as professional advice or anything other than entertainment.
Now that we have that out of the way, come join us. We are Friends with Pineapples.
Welcome or welcome back to Friends with Pineapples. I'm Paul.
I'm Nikki.
And today we have a very special guest. I've been talking to them a good bit, and I've always wanted to do this episode, and I reached out to them, and they were just awesome enough to say, absolutely, let's do it. So let's welcome Brianna and Brian from Front Porch Swingers. Hi, y'all.
Hey, guys, thanks for having us. Much appreciated.
Awesome. So we did an episode on, we took a hot wife quiz, and we've always wanted to kind of experience a hot wifing. But after taking the quiz, we kind of learned that it's probably best for us to kind of ease into it. So before we get started, y'all are a hot wifing couple, correct? Hot wife, stag, vixen couple, or...
That's a lot of what we've done. Yeah, that is, I would say the majority of our play has been in the hot wife space. We describe ourselves now as more in like an open relationship because Brian also plays with people solo and does his thing. But the majority of our lifestyle experience has been me with single men. So
awesome. So describe hot wifing for us. What is it for our listeners?
Hot wifing is when the female half of a couple is doing all or the majority of the play. And typically with single men, it can look like a lot of different things. Sometimes the husband watches, sometimes the husband participates, sometimes the male partner can be involved in a myriad of different ways, or in our case, not at all. I completely play separately from Brian. He is not there. Sometimes he listens, but that's usually my doing. It's very close to cuckolding, but there are some minor differences as well.
Okay. So next question, how long have y'all been in the hot wifing lifestyle?
Since day one, 6 years.
Coming up on 6 years. Yep.
Our first experience was 10 days after we decided to step into the lifestyle. We met under the guise of a BDSM relationship. So it was very easy transition for us. I was in the lifestyle long before Brennan and I ever met. So the transition into ethical non-monogamy was very simple for us. It was a simple transition. And we had talked about watching each other with other people. And so within 10 days of us having that conversation, we had our first hot wife experience. And our first three or four experiences were Brenna with single men before we ever bothered fucking with couples, which didn't work out, and anything else. Literally day one.
Yeah, we've tried it all too, for the record. I mean, it has not just been hot wiping. We've done the couple swap thing. We've done the threesomes. We've kind of done it all, but this is the thing that speaks most to us.
The open relationship, the autonomy, the independence is what works for us at this point, because I guess unlike a lot of guys, and frankly, I mean, we can get into it. I think it's a bunch of shit anyway. I don't have the same feeling about watching my partner as other guys say they do. I enjoy the reconnection. I enjoy the mystery. I like hearing about it later from her perspective. And then we get to benefit from it as a couple. So for me to be there, it does very little for me.
Okay, so y'all have damn near just answered every one of our questions we had written down.
All right, well, that's a wrap.
Well, nice. On that note, no.
Okay. So I'm assuming now y'all are more into poly open relationship.
Never say that at this point. We are woefully inept. Every time we've tried, it's been a fucking disaster.
We've tried the poly thing. I think eventually we will land there. I say open relationship more so in that, like, Brian has his play partners, I have my play partners. We do our things completely separately from each other. So I, you know, it's a little bit more of a, I would say it verges on poly if you look at it that way. You know, like Brian has a woman he's been playing with for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, but you know, it really depends on the people that you're talking to. You know, this space, the ethical the space of ethical non-monogamy, or the lifestyle of swinger space, or whatever. Brent and I do not consider ourselves swingers in the purest sense at this point. If you asked 25-year swinger veterans about our dynamic, they would simply tell you that we're not really swingers. We hear this shit all the time.
Which is fine. I don't care.
We don't care. I don't care. But depending on who you ask, if you asked a very staunch, steadfast poly couple, if what we do is polyamory, they're going to tell you absolutely not. So yeah, it's really all, it's all, you know, interpretation, right? I mean, the bottom line is we are ethically non-monogamous. We are an open, in an open relationship to the extent that we have separate play partners. We are open to the idea of poly. We are 20 years apart. I'm the older one, in case you couldn't tell. And I do believe at some point, Brenna should and will have an external relationship to ours with someone closer, you know, within 5-8 years of her own age, for any number of reasons, right? So I do think we end up there. For us, it's just a very difficult recipe.
So I
really, a lot to unpack, I know.
Yeah, it is. Y'all have been in it since day one. 10 days in, y'all decided to jump into this, and it's been so helpful for y'all. I'm assuming it's been so helpful for y'all majority of the way, or y'all probably wouldn't still be in it, correct?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So got a question for you, Brian. Because there is that age gap, and you were saying that you've been in it way longer than she has. How long have you been in it? Like, how long have you been in ethical non-monogamy? We'll use that term instead of lifestyle.
Sure. Once again, depending on whose definition you want to use, if you use mine, the entirety of my adult life. How about that?
Yeah, he played like bowl for couples and that sort of thing too.
Yeah, so. I come from the world of adult entertainment. I was an executive for the largest adult entertainment management company in the nation at one time. It's not exactly what you think it is.
It's not as glamorous as it may seem.
Yeah, it sounds really fun, but and it was. There was a lot of good times, trust me, but it's not what you think it is. But being in that space allowed me or afforded me the opportunity to have a lot of experiences, obviously. I mean, I could bore you to death with any number of them, but the least of which would be that I had a lot of interaction with open-minded people. So for me, the world of ethical non-monogamy, it was a daily thing. It was just a day to day. It wasn't like I didn't know that I was in any particular type of lifestyle. I was just who I was, and I was surrounded by people just like me.
So it was just like one. Yeah. So it was just like one day it just clicked, like, oh shit, there's a name for it. Right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what really did it for me. Honestly, while I had been to a number of different lifestyle clubs over the years, particularly in Texas where I lived and worked for over 30 years, my company, I was instructed to take over a location. That location, the building, we were a property management company as well. One of the businesses in that property was a lifestyle club. And it still is, actually, a different name now. But what is now Colette Dallas wasn't always Colette Dallas.
Really?
No, that was a different lifestyle club.
We were just in Dallas.
Yeah, that Colette Dallas was.
Did you go to Colette?
No, we went to one of the hotel takeovers group in Keller. We went to their group in Keller.
North Dallas. Wow. How about that? Surprised that they weren't picketing out front, burning folks at the state.
Okay. So
there was a protest.
There was a protest.
Across the hotel.
But it wasn't anything to do with ethical non-monogamy or anything like that. But typically I know the group in Keller, hotel takeovers that we've been to, it's always been, they're usually in Trophy Club, and now they're doing it in Irving, and they're at like 4-star, you know, hotels, just amazing places.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to be my last question. Then I'm going to let Nikki ask some questions.
Took all my questions off.
I know. Do y'all feel that it brings y'all closer together? And I would like y'all to kind of give a little bit more insight, like the benefits it has brought y'all, as well as some of the downfalls it has done, if y'all are comfortable talking about that.
Sure. Of course. course. Yeah. I mean, I think the obvious benefit, if anyone that is in the lifestyle or has been ethically non-monogamous successfully knows this, that you are forced to talk about everything and your communication becomes freaking, you know, Brian always calls it black belts in communication. That's what you have to be in order to be successful in this space. So that's kind of the obvious. Yeah, that's kind of the obvious one. I think what would surprise people about how we play is I think there are a lot of lifestylers out there that, and I'm not shitting on anyone playing with their partner. That's awesome. If you want to be in the same room, I celebrate that. This is a choose your own adventure type thing, not a rules and, you know, regulations type thing. But I think some people assume that because we play separately, we do that because we're not as interested in the connectivity. I would argue that coming back to Brian and reliving everything that I just went through makes it even more connected, because it's like, I am telling him the story. I'm seeing the surprise on his face. I'm seeing all of the excitement that comes from it. And he's been sitting there while I'm gone the entire time thinking about all of the possibilities of what could have just happened. And I think that alone has brought us so close together. And it's also a huge showing of trust, right? Like the fact that I get to go out. Yeah, I get to go out completely separately from him and do something. And he has to trust that I am going to abide by our guidelines, our boundaries. We have very few of them at this point, but he's putting that trust in me. And that's a huge gift from my perspective. Do you want to add to that?
We could do an entire episode on how this has benefited us as a couple or me as an individual, I suppose. But the truth of the matter is the way we play, the way we interpret the lifestyle or ethical non-monogamy, while very different, I think, for most people, even those in the space, you know, the way we do that gives us a unique perspective on relationships. So, and kind of shitty, I guess, to say sometimes, but we're different from everyone else. And in my opinion, our relationship is far stronger than 99.9% of anybody in a relationship. Largely because we, as Brenna puts it, we radically communicate, uncomfortably communicate, disturbingly so. Like it's what we do. And a lot of times we don't even give a shit where we are or who's around.
Banging and there's like a, you know, yeah, a little old lady next to us.
Yeah, there's a 75-year-old woman sitting on the plane next to me. So yeah, we just don't, you know, we look at this differently. And while we have amazing friends, I mean, we have an amazing circle of friends and folks that we correspond with on a daily basis. I don't know that anyone else is quite where we are in terms of how we communicate, not just because of our personal desires and wants and needs, but this is also, we do what you guys do. We have a podcast, right? So we talk about these things ad nauseum. So it's something we do all the time. So for us to have a conversation about something intimate is just like everybody else having a conversation about exchanging a recipe or something.
Their grocery list, yeah.
It's so mundane for us, you know. So for me, you know, the pluses are that I've been able to really kind of see myself in a different light. And I have a unique relationship, one that I've obviously, like, I've never had before. I am 4 times divorced. I cannot begin to tell you how many failed relationships I've had throughout the course of my life. So, you know, this is a very unique situation for me.
And I would say, like, as far as downsides, I mean, I don't see a lot of downsides from a personal perspective being in the lifestyle. I see it more so as like when you look at lifestylers as a whole. I think we still have a really far way to go, for example, with things like male bisexuality. Absolutely. You know, we're in this space where it's like, right, it's supposed to be inclusive. It's supposed to be welcoming. And yet, you know, bi men are not accepted, or, you know, the trans community is not super accepted. So I think we still have a lot of work to do in that area. That's more so where I see the downsides for us, because we're very passionate about certain things. Brian is a pansexual man. I currently identify as a bisexual woman. And, you know, I think from our perspective, because we are so passionate about those subjects, it has a way of kind of tainting the lifestyle for us. Like when we go to a lifestyle event and we hear people talking shit about bi men, it's like, man, I thought we were
go fuck yourself, right? Like,
you were so fucking hot until you just opened your mouth. Like,
yeah, could you maybe just not talk? No.
I agree with brother. The only negative portion of this for us is the professional portion. Because we deal with it at such an intense level, where everybody thinks, oh, we're moving this space forward and I see progression. Bullshit. Not such a thing.
In some areas, but we still have a lot of work to do. And sometimes that's really disheartening.
And this is the most judgmental space on the planet. It is incredibly judgmental. It's incredibly toxic. It just is. I don't care what anybody else says. Anyone who's been in this for any length of time and does what we do on the level that we do it, it is absolutely obvious. And for all the folks that are getting into it and getting their feet wet, it's like, you know, you got to be prepared. You're gonna deal with some strife, man. This is not exactly the, you know, the kumbaya drum circle everybody fucking thinks it is, you know?
You're 100% correct. We have one of our friends that live another state away, and we were talking to them, and I noticed on their SDC, it has bisexual male. And I told him, I was like, bro, I fucking commend you, because I've noticed, for instance, I'm not bisexual. I'm heteroflexible. Mm-hmm. Do y'all know what that term is?
Yeah.
So
I'm heteroflexible. I enjoy male on male as long as
a female is involved.
And we're all in
all together.
All together. Like we're entangled, right?
It's not just him and another guy. It's like if there's at least one of the wives involved,
yeah,
or just me,
and
he's fine.
And that's how he is. And I've always wanted to put bi curious on my SDC, but I did at one point. The people that would reach out just significantly
dropped.
And it was just like, okay, sure, man, like what the
good
fuck? But, yeah, and I noticed
one less Christmas card I gotta send out.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
And that's if you can't accept that, then you're not who we want to play with anyways.
And that's exactly what my friend said. That's exactly what my friend said. He was like, dude, he was like, what they see is what they get. And who I am is who I am. So if they don't want to fucking hang out with me, then fuck them. I don't need them.
Yeah, let them self-eliminate. That's fine.
Yeah, and I was like, bro, that's amazing that you even said that to me, because now that gave me the courage to go ahead and change mine and everything. And it was unbelievable. And
makes perfect sense. Good for him. Good for you.
But I also, how you're saying the most judgmental place and how it's not accepting, like we really want to do an episode about being more acceptable to bi males, because in the swinger lifestyle, I've noticed that it is almost expected for females to be bisexual.
Oh, it's a prerequisite.
It is almost
pretty much.
Yeah. It's almost expected. However, if we go to, let's say, Colette's or Eden or any of those other, or just any club in general, and we're all up in the group room, you're going to see a female eat another female out all day long, any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
But if a guy sucks another guy off, the room's probably going to fucking clear out. And it's because they're judgmental assholes.
No, there's no question about it. Well, and also understand, again, this is my opinion, not the opinion of the show. People that are that just avoidant of certain activities, are they themselves the most interested in said activities?
Yes.
So when you get these fucking wannabe, you know, guys that, you know, tough guy males, like, oh, I can't imagine how you two guys can do that, or I don't want to see that, or man, these guys are watching all the gay porn. I'm just saying, I don't want to hear that bullshit. You know, yeah. Most of the guys that's, you know, adamant about not being present in a situation like that, they're the most closeted.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we even had a friend that we actually put a little meet and greet up or together with that said pretty much the same thing. He was like, the ones that get weirded out by it are the ones that are most interested in it. And they just don't want to admit it.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of like when we do a TikTok live and you get people on there that are like, oh, you're sinners, you horrible people. It's like, you know, you've thought about it. You might be a little jealous. You might want to try it, but you just don't know how, or you're terrified. You know what I mean? Kind of the same thing. So.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. So on the way to the hotel takeover this weekend, we were listening to y'all's, I guess, last episode, I think.
Okay.
He's the one that always plays them for me. I don't pay attention to what order we listen to them in. But it was the one on the email that y'all got about the lady finding out that the guy was charged.
Accused.
Charged with a felony.
Yeah. And we immediately both thought of one of our friends that we met in another state. And even both of us at the same time, like, he was convicted. He did time. And hands down, would still do it if I could.
Yeah.
With him.
Well, because that doesn't make him a shitty person.
No, but he was a great guy. Like, I broke down, my car literally broke down on a railroad track, and called him. And next thing you know, our friend pulls up and I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? Like, I'm so glad to see you. Like, help me get my car, like, away from this train track. Like, yeah. And he was just the most down to earth, like,
he was genuine,
friendly guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a convicted villain. I don't care. Yeah. That doesn't mean you're any type of way. You're still a good person.
Now, I will agree with, you know, Brianna, like, if you've been convicted of, let's say, a sexual crime,
yeah,
okay, yeah, not like kick rocks, you know.
We even talk about it. Like, yeah. I was like, well, technically, his conviction wasn't sex related, but it related to sex. I mean, he beat the shit out of the guy he found in bed with his wife, but it wasn't like it was with a kid or anything.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
you're not,
again, not a great choice, but that doesn't inherently yeah. make him a bad person.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, if you're someone who's committing crimes against the vulnerable, the weak, the children, absolutely. You know, you're a piece of
animals.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Animals.
Yeah, animals, yes.
Listen, when you do, you know, listen, I'm a convicted felon. I don't give a shit what anybody thinks about me. I was very young when it happened. You know, I suffered the consequences for it. I certainly didn't deserve what I got, but I dealt with it. But it doesn't define me. Now I'm going to be 54 next month. You know, I was 16 when that happened. So, I mean, if you want to hold that against me, you can, but we don't need to fucking hang out either.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, like, in the hot wife lifestyle especially, we become friendly, obviously, with a lot of the single guys that I play with, but I don't ask too many questions. Because to me, what's important is how you treat me. Like, if you're a respectful person, yeah. you're respectful to my partner, you are consensual, you're fun to be around, that's the most important thing to me. I don't care about, you know, your political beliefs or your religious beliefs or, yeah. you know, the past. Again, as long as it's not, yeah. you know, something that's going to put me at risk or someone I care about at risk.
The only time those things become important is if there's somebody that's going to be in our lives for a period of time or that relationship is going to blossom into something. Or like Brenna just said, we're going to put that person around our friends. You know, that's when you've got to be more concerned about that. But for the most part, you meet somebody at a takeover or a resort or whatever, and it's kind of a, you know, a one-off kind of thing. I don't need your fucking whole job criminal history. I'm not interested, you know?
So my next question is, how do y'all both feel about one of you being sexual with someone else without the other partner being involved and then coming back to each other and like discussing it?
I mean, even though you've already answered the questions, we're still going to ask the questions, y'all.
No, that's fine. No, I mean, I think for me, I we're kind of skewed on this because a lot of people obviously reach out and want to talk to us about jealousy because that's like such a big thing for most people, mm-hmm. especially when they're first getting into the space. We really don't experience that. Brian is the least jealous person in the world. I've had what I call like knee-jerk moments. And the big one for me that I've had to get over is the time away. It's not what Brian is doing with other people. I love that he's having fun. I find, you know, joy in his joy, that whole compersion discussion. That's a huge thing for us. For me, I had to get over the fact that like, I'm going to have to give up 2 or 3 hours with my best friend. And I think that has been by far the biggest hurdle for me to get over. And, you know, the other thing for me, and I think people are sometimes surprised by this because we do play completely separately, but for that reason, I kind of have to like the people that he's playing with. Like if I don't like someone and then I'm thinking to myself, oh, that person is taking 3 hours of my time with my partner, it becomes a little bit toxic. And I definitely don't have the same joy in those moments as I would when he's playing with someone that I really like. So that's something we've really had to kind of figure out. And also like, when do I meet that person? If he plays with them a few times, does it make sense for me to meet them at that point? Then what if I don't like them, but he's already playing with them and likes them? So there is some complexity to it when you're playing separately that, you know, couples don't have to think about when they're playing together. Yeah. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah. You know, for me, the idea of playing, first of all, we've done the playing together thing. It simply doesn't work for us. A, because I'm too fixated on Brenna as opposed to the person I'm, you know, with. And for Brenna, it's much the same. She's focusing on me. I'm focusing on her. The people that we're with, it's not fair to them, right? And then we would leave a situation where maybe we had engaged with a couple and we didn't have the same hunger or desire to reconnect after that because, well, we just watched it, right? Yeah. We don't, you know, you watch a movie together, you don't really need to talk about it after, you were both there. So this is, it's kind of the same thing. And so, you know, having that separation for me is a driver. You know, now to answer your question, as opposed to, you know, one of us playing and the other one not, we get that a lot too. People really do think that Brenna is just out playing with all the single guys, you know, and I'm home, you know, by myself and, you know, sitting in the dark, rocking back and forth, wishing I was
on your
fun.
Thumbs
or your
yeah. Or Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah, don't feel bad for me. Okay, really, don't feel bad for me. I turn down far more opportunities than I take because I just don't feel the desire or the need to engage with that many people because I have some amazing people in my life right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we have works for us. And if that becomes a thing where, you know, it doesn't, then we'll, you know, fortunately we have been quite capable of pivoting in certain aspects.
Well, and we also tell people that are like brand new to playing separately that you can't do the tit for tat thing. That will never work. If you're constantly going, okay, I just had a play date, so now I need to wait till my partner has a play date before I set up another play date. That's a recipe for disaster. It's not all about fairness, especially because let's just be real. As women, we have far more options in this space than men. Brian has a lot of opportunity because, you know, he's ridiculously handsome and charming, but, but I think like the average, that's like a, you know, huge misconception that guys assume that they're going to get just as much action as their female counterparts. And it's like, that's not really that realistic. So if you are the type of couple that thinks in those terms, you either need to change that or maybe stick to playing together.
Yeah. And also for me, I get more excitement out of Brenna playing and us reconnecting than I do out of playing. And I have great play partners. I adore the people that I spend time with. But if I wasn't able to do that for whatever reason, my enjoyment in her being satiated is far greater than anything I'm going to get with somebody else.
Yeah. One dynamic that I think would work for us is if we did like a hot wifing thing with a couple that we already knew and that it would be something that they would be into. For instance, we've talked about me taking their spouse, female spouse or whatever, on a date while he takes Nikki on a date and just us doing our own thing. I mean, we can play separately with, especially with, certain few couples.
Well, I mean, Blake and Ash being one of them.
But I know for my aspect of really not wanting to play separate is I love looking over and seeing Nikki just have just a face of enjoyment. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I know how good she is. And I know he's now experiencing that and watching that individual enjoy her as well. To me, that is so fucking hot. And I think you can't really get that with discussing the play dates. If like afterwards, like,
right.
I mean, I think if you're able to see it in person, you're able to enjoy it more. And then, yeah, you could talk about it later, but I do love y'all's aspect of it. It's like, y'all like to talk about it and everything else, but and how y'all do is just is awesome. But I mean, that's really where we're at on it. Like, but I said, damn it earlier when you were talking about like y'all don't play together. I said, damn it, because that was going to be our next question.
Only ever play separately.
Yeah, that was literally going to be our next question.
We haven't played together in, I mean, obviously we play together at home all the time, but we haven't played together with other people in.
Well, it would have been our
a year and a half,
single
probably.
Single girlfriend.
No, the couple here.
Oh, yeah.
But that was like a year and a half ago. So, you know, we went to like a few bi parties and things like that, but neither of us like had sex with anyone, had penetrative sex with anyone there. It was more so like oral play.
I did.
You did?
On the balcony, remember? On the.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
60.
The point is, it doesn't happen that often. I mean, so yeah, back to what you were just saying, like you get the most enjoyment out of the lifestyle from watching your partner with somebody else. And I think for me, that takes the mystery out of it. So it's just back to whatever is going to float your boat, whatever works for you. Like for me, I look at Yeah,
it's all a cart space.
I look at hot wiping as I'm bringing home a gift to Brian, and I know what's inside of the gift, but he has no idea what's inside of the gift.
Huh.
So then he unwraps the gift, and I see the excitement and the surprise on his face, and that brings me joy. That to me is way hotter than watching him bang someone or him watching me. So it's just, you know, everyone has their thing. That's what's so beautiful about this space is like, you can make it whatever the hell you want.
There's no right or wrong. You can do it your way or their way. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
as long as everybody is a consensual adult, there's no one script for this. And that's the thing that, like, you know, the lifestyle purists really do. It just drives me fucking crazy. You know, that invisible hierarchy of the heteronormative couple, you know, the heteronormative couple, you know, with the heteronormative couple, same room, same bed, lights on, missionary, got to be able to reach over and touch your partner kind of shit. It just bores to fucking tears. It just bores me to death.
Well, and we get a lot of ire for it, honestly. Like, we for a while there were going to couple centric events, and we were always flattered that people would come up to us and want to play, but then having to explain the entire time why we don't play like they do, it was like, okay, this is not that much fun anymore. Like, you guys go play with other couples. That's freaking awesome. I love that for you.
Yeah.
But you don't have to judge us just because we don't want to fuck you both at the same time.
Yeah, we absolutely don't care what people do. It doesn't affect us. Yeah. You know, but instantly, I mean, we literally got into this conversation in an elevator. I was just about over it. If we had to go another floor, I probably would have lost my shit with a couple that was trying to figure out within three floors of this hotel why it is that we don't play with other couples. Like,
just take it as we tell you. Like, we're not interested in playing with y'all together. Leave it alone and leave it at that. Can you give our listeners like pointers or tips, do's and don'ts on how to get into the hot wiping lifestyle?
Or we could do that all day. No.
Yeah. How much time do we have?
I think the most important thing is hot wife frenzy can be a real freaking thing. So if you're just getting started, if you had a couple of good experiences, just know they're all not going to be great. And also don't jump into experiences with guys that you're not 100% sure of. That was by far the biggest mistake we made in the beginning, because Brian knocked it out of the park with the first guy. The second guy was okay. And then like the third guy, I'm pretty sure it was the third one. It was a complete train wreck. And we look back on that being like, there were so many red flags. I wasn't really even attracted to the guy.
We would never have done it again.
But the first two were so good. And Brian and I had this amazing reconnection sex and all of these different things afterwards that I was like, well, let's just look past the fact that he, you know, showed up in his dirty work clothes and doesn't smell good. And I'm not attracted to him.
Did he sleep in his car? He looks like it.
He may very well have.
Yeah, he was a train wreck. And
dang, you just answered my next question too.
So I think that's a really, really important part of this is like, be patient and know that you're going to have to find the right guys. Along with that, vetting is ridiculously important in the hot wife space, because I think with couples, it tends to be a little bit easier to suss out who's right for you and who's not, because there's a lot of negotiation that goes into it with four people versus two. But you have to have really solid vetting questions with these guys. You have to decide ahead of time what is important to you, what is going to be a deal breaker for you, and make sure you're asking the right questions.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, though, that a lot of people neglect when they start, like you asked, how do couples get into the hot wife space? You know, the other component to the hot wife space are the single guys. You know, talking to the guys about how to do this properly, it's what I'm dedicating 2024 to doing, is paramount, because without the single guys, there is no hot wife space. And I don't want to break it to everybody listening. The hot wife, stag, vixen, single guy, couples who entertain single guy space is absolutely the largest niche in the lifestyle. And numbers don't lie. I'm not just saying it because we have a bunch of friends that, you know, as couples, you know, they're couples and they play with single guys. All you got to do is look at the events. You guys go to events. You see all the events. Yeah. How many events do you see? Well, I'll put it to you like this. The largest lifestyle event in the country is what? There's the biggest one. Naughty New Orleans.
Yeah.
Biggest one.
Yeah.
Biggest one. 2,500 people, right? 2,800 people, whatever it is. How many times a year did they do that?
Yeah, once.
They do it once. Splash Mocha goes on 10 times a year. And they sell out multiple hotels. You're talking about 10,000 people a year. Compared to 2,800.
Yeah.
Those numbers don't lie.
Well, and along with that, I think the biggest and most important thing, if you're a couple that has been in the lifestyle, but you haven't entertained single men yet, obviously single men have a bad rap in the lifestyle, right? The majority of lifestylers would tell you like, oh, these freaking single guys, or we hear all the time, oh, we like to go to the clubs where no single men are allowed. And I think because of that, this idea, this perpetuation happens of like couples are more important. They should be the ones calling the shots. There's a level of entitlement that goes along with that. And you cannot have that if you are going to get into the hot wife space, because you'll realize very, very quickly that the single men that are legitimate, that are attractive, that are respectful, that have good reputations in this space, they have just as many choices, if not more, than your hot wife, right? Like they, those guys are very sought after. We have friends that travel the country going to events, single guys, and they are constantly being asked to fly to places to be with the hot wives, or, you know, paying to go on vacation. They're getting their vacations are being paid for so that they can go with the couples on these vacations. I mean, these guys are in high demand. Yep. So if you think for even a second that you are something super fucking special to these single guys as a hot wife couple, you have to change that mentality. Yep. Because the only options you're going to have when you act like that are really crappy single men.
Yep. And just as a, to put a point on it, we basically, other than Podbash, only host hot wife events. And we hosted 47 events last year. We have never had a single guy issue. We've had coupled female issues and we've had coupled male issues. I have never thrown a single guy out of an event. We have, I have thrown couples out of events. Absolutely.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Because there is a process. And if you follow the process, you don't have a problem. Now, does that mean you're not going to inevitably? No. And it's a numbers game, right? Eventually you'll run into a problem, but the bulk of the issues that we see at our events and other people's hot wife events, it's the couples.
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely see that.
We've had the few like single guys that have been at the clubs that we've gone to, and they have not been in any way sort of anyone would be interested in them, even for hot wife scenarios. And it's because it's like the bottom of the barrel. But I'm sure there's way more out there than just what's going to the few clubs we go to.
Well, I mean,
well, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah,
there's a very good reason for that, right? Because most of these clubs that are couple centric, that cater mostly to couples looking for other couples or to single women, are charging these guys crazy amounts to go.
Ridiculous amounts.
If you're a solid, attractive single man, you don't have to pay crazy prices to get laid. Your phone will be blowing up all freaking weekend long. Yeah. So what you get at those clubs when you charge the guys triple, quadruple the amount that you're charging a couple is you're getting the desperate ones, right? You're getting the guys that are undesirable and feel like their only option is to pay those crazy prices.
Yep. We hosted our hot wife event, hot wife Halloween event in Denver. There was a club that also had a hot wife Halloween or Halloween party. They were charging single men $450 entry. Not a hot wife event. Just a regular event where it's predominantly couples. That tells you a couple of things, right? One, they have absolutely no fucking idea what they're doing when it comes to single men or hot wife couples. But also, as a single guy, what they're telling you is they don't want your business. They'll take it if you're willing to pony up the $450. Yeah. But they don't want you there. So why the fuck would you want to go there? You're not going to get a quality single guy to show up there. That's not going to happen.
Going on with what you just said, like I will say that at going on with what Nikki said as well, the club that we go to, even west of Texas, even more west of Texas, there is single guys there and they do pay those outrageous fucking prices. But these are also some of the best single men that I've ever encountered. Super respectful.
Really good ones, yeah.
Like, well, the majority of them there are just super, super respectful and just awesome individuals. And the thing, if they came up to me in the future, said, "Hey, is it cool that I take Nikki to the room?" I probably would not care
because they're one specifically we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Like,
he's just got like a fucking 14 inch dick. Yeah, and I'm just like, Jesus,
you want to pass along my number to him? No.
Why don't you just come here and go with us? And
I'm familiar with West Texas. I'm not sure Brenna would appreciate it as much.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to watch your dog run away for 2 weeks, that's all there is.
I had an airline pilot say that one time when the plane just dropped out of the sky in Lubbock. He was like, this is welcome to Lubbock, where you can watch your dog run away for 5 miles.
My next question was going to be since y'all been in the lifestyle, what is something that's happened that y'all wish y'all could have done differently and why? But you kind of answered that already with the pointers on the third guy.
No, I would. The other big one for me is like, I tend to take things very personally. And that's something that you really can't do in the hot wife space, because there are going to be people that ghost on you. There are going to be men that ghost on you. There are going to be men that don't treat you the way that you deserve to be treated. And that really sucks. But, you know, not just like getting so freaking worked up about it and venting about it for hours. Like, I've really had to learn that people are in this space for a million different reasons. And I know why I'm in this space. I know the benefits that I receive from it. And if I don't find someone that's in alignment with that, that's okay. It's not the end of the world. I'm a very sensitive person, so I've had to work really freaking hard on that. And then I would say the other one is like, because we did, like we, like Brian said, we started off hot wifing and then we moved into swapping with couples. And looking back, the only reason we did that is because I felt like that's what you were supposed to do as a quote unquote swinger, right? Like, oh, every couple that we were talking to plays as a couple together in the same room. So that must be what you have to do. Neither of us really,
norm.
Yeah, neither of us really wanted to do that. We felt pressured in some way to do that. And I wish I could go back and shake old Brenna and be like, no, if you like hot wifing, if you like playing with single men or solo playing men, freaking keep doing that. Why change that just because you're trying to fit into somebody else's standard of what it means to be a lifestyler?
Yeah. And for me, I would have done things differently from a professional lifestyle perspective, for sure, with how we do things. And I think it would have separated the personal from the professional a great deal more than we did to begin with, which we're still dealing with still to this day. But yeah, I think there's a lot of things I think we would do differently, right? Hindsight being what it is. Like Brenna said, we would have navigated that couples thing a lot better than we did. I think the couple of times we did attempt at poly, that was a fucking train wreck. We probably would have avoided that the way we did. Yeah. So that, you know, listen, if you're not learning, right, you're not making mistakes, you're not learning, you're not growing. You know, right. You're going to stumble. And if you don't, you don't learn anything, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we've always said that we've grown through even the smallest mistakes that we made, but the big ones for sure.
Well, I mean, before we got in the lifestyle, like we were arguing every fucking day, like damn near every day. And we didn't get in the lifestyle to save our marriage at all. It just happened to save our marriage. Yeah. We actually got in the lifestyle because Nikki kept asking me if I'd want a threesome, and I thought it was a trap. So I was like, no. So, but I thought it was a trap.
Who would ever want that?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, have you been on my computer?
You haven't even said it the way you normally say it.
But
what was your thought process?
Oh, okay. Well, we were having sex, and she asked me, she's like, would you want another girl in the bed? Would you want another female in the bed? Would you want to see me eat her pussy out? And me thinking it was a trap, I was like, me in my head, I'm going, abso-fucking-lutely, this would be amazing. Right. But what came out was, no, get off me. Like, and I thought it was a trap. I thought it was a fucking trap. And so it's like, and like after three or four times of her asking this, I'm like, okay, you know, after we had sex, I was like, okay, what's really going on? She mentioned that, yeah, this is something that I've always wanted to do. I was like, okay, cool. So then we went to Alaska and had our first experience. And honestly, since we moved from Alaska to here, that's where it's really kicked off.
Most of Alaska was just me with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
That he rarely got to play with, but it was mainly just me and her. And then since we moved to Texas, it's been kind of like an anything goes almost.
Yeah. But my point is like, we went from arguing damn near every day to like fighting every day, to literally having small little, just disagreements, to maybe once or twice a year, to where it's just like, man, I thought you were going to wash the dishes, or she'd yell at me like, hey, you were supposed to fold the clothes.
You didn't swap the clothes over. Like, yeah, stupid stuff.
And that's minimal. I think that the lifestyle has actually benefited our relationship that way. I mean, we've been together, 14 years. We've been in the lifestyle 11 years. Usually when people look at us and they figure out how long we've been in, they're just like, holy shit, are you serious? Y'all look way too young for that.
Well, we actually got this weekend because he had mentioned that we've been almost in the lifestyle for almost 12 years. And they're like, y'all don't look like y'all could even be like old enough to be here. So how have you been in it for 12 years? And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm 33. So yeah, there's plenty of time in that. Yeah.
But
well, I think the lifestyle teaches you how to communicate.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
It forces you to.
It forces you, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It forces you to. And I think it also builds more of a sense of trust for you and your partner as well. And it's a trust that most normal, or let's say vanilla, right? Vanilla individuals will never get to experience.
No.
Because they're trusting their spouse to, let's say, take out the garbage.
Pay the bills
or cook dinner or whatever else. Get the oil change in the car. I'm trusting Nikki to go fuck someone and come back to me. And she's trusting me to do the same. Like 90% of the time, 99% of the time, we're doing it together. But I'm still trusting her to be able to do this, but yet still come back to bed with me and still love me.
And still choose you. Exactly.
Yeah, you guys choose to be together. That's the difference.
And I have to have trust in her that it's going to remain that way.
Yep.
And she has to have trust. And I just think that we have a sense of trust for each other that most couples are never going to have.
Well, just the communication level that we have, most vanilla couples don't, because we literally discuss from like our deepest, dirtiest fantasies to just like mundane things.
Yeah.
When most people take years in their relationship to even come out with one of their simplest fantasies.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. There's a lot of vulnerability in that. You're showing a lot of vulnerability to who is supposed to be your most important person in the world. But mm-hmm. I think to your point, Paul, most couples don't look at it that way. Most couples look at it as like, they're guarding those vulnerable moments, those vulnerable thoughts from each other. And I can't imagine doing that at this point. Whenever I have a new fantasy, I am so excited to tell Brian about it. I literally am like a kid at a candy store. I'll see something on one of the kink sites, or, you know, someone will send me something naughty and I'm like, oh my God, this is something new I'm unlocking. And like, to not have that, I can't imagine at this point, because I just think it's such a like rewarding part and a connecting part of being, you know, part of a partnership.
And that, honestly, that's how we are now. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, yeah.
When we find something on, let's say, just Instagram feed or what is any type of social media feed that we find very, like, very intriguing mm-hmm. and new.
I'm like, oh, we got to try that. Like,
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well, oh, God, look at this, you know, and we get super giddy about it. And it's like we're that, you know, young 20s couple again. And it's just... And for us, we know that this isn't a hobby for us. This is who we are. Yeah. Like, we're going to be in the retirement home still trying to play. Like, we already know that. Like,
we tell people all the time, this isn't like a light switch you turn on and off. We are biologically, as humans, ethically non-monogamous by nature.
Well, yeah, people ask us all the time, how often do you swing? That's a horrible question for us, because we don't look at it as swinging. We look at it as engaging with other people. Mm-hmm. So if you ask us how often we're doing that, sure, we can probably provide you like a general number, but how much of the time are we lifestylers? 100% of the time. This is who we are.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think that's really about all the questions we have, except I do have one last one. If you don't want to answer, or if you don't have the answer for it, that's fine.
We're not that bright, so I wouldn't think too much on this. But
math problem.
All right. I need y'all to, because I'm super excited for this to come out. I'm waiting. I'm so tired of just waiting. Do y'all have an expectation of when Open, A Journey Through Love is going to come out?
No, I have not spoken with Roderick lately. I do need to contact him because of Podbash, which we need to talk to you guys about as well. So I'll probably contact him tomorrow.
My understanding is that it's going to be a pretty long process. Yeah. There's a lot of funding that has to go into it. There's a lot of editing. I mean, he had like 2,500 hours of footage between multiple cameras.
And I put him in touch with some folks that could help him, from in the financing department. So I need to contact him and just kind of see where that's at and how that went. But, mm-hmm. I need to call him anyway, because, you know, Podbash, we want to get you guys there as well. This year, it's going to be again at Secrets Hideaway in Kissimmee.
We've always wanted to go there.
Yeah. You've never been? Oh, God.
No, we have literally only been two places in Texas. We have not ventured. Well,
in Louisiana.
In Louisiana.
Gotcha. Well, PodBash should be great for you. Obviously, we can send you guys all the information. We can chat it another time, but have Absolutely. You be part of it. Have you promote the show and bring out all the stuff.
Yeah, we would love. She has both of our numbers. So if you feel free to get them from her, contact us anytime, and we'd love to have y'all on the show.
We enjoyed it.
Maybe next time we can have Blake and Ash here too, so all four of us can.
Just thank y'all so much for coming on. Thank y'all so much for everything y'all are doing in the lifestyle. For your single guy tips of the week, they're just awesome. We love them. Like that's doing a lot for the lifestyle or for ethical non-monogamy. Mm-hmm. Just thank y'all so much for everything that y'all do. And
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. It was really nice to actually chat with you guys and get to know you a little bit. And thanks so much for having us on. We're honored.
We'll reach out to you guys about PodBash for sure.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Okay, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you've liked this episode, please give us a 5-star rating. And for any comments, questions, or concerns, feel free to email us at friendswithpineapples@gmail.com. Thanks.
Perfect.